You know what time it is. Come on. Weekend. Warrior. Podcast. Let me hear you. Come on. Weekend. Warrior. Podcast. Weekend Warrior Pod. Let's go.
No hot takes. No garbage. Just real talk.
Weekend Warrior Pod. Let's go.
No fake takes. No first takes. Just real talk.
Weekend Warrior Pod. Let's go.
This is the Weekend Warrior Podcast, presented by WTP Sports. I am your host, as always, Pat Lane. This is episode 67. That makes it the Dan Copen episode, the Benoit Pouliot episode, the Brandon Workman episode. Welcome back, Brandon Workman. Or perhaps even the Gray Rugemer episode. That's correct, Gray Rugemer. That's actually the first thing that came to my head. Had to throw him in there. 67. Also want to say thank you for listening on 12 Ounce Sports Radio, if you are. So appreciate you listening there. And this show, we actually have a really good show. I have a really interesting conversation with the NBC Sports Boston camera guys, Glenn and Moose. We kind of talk about kind of what they're doing, the interesting videos they're putting on Twitter, and kind of the things that they're doing to kind of take a different look at the sports world, which I find really fascinating. So I think it's really, really good. Definitely check that out. And then we have the three-minute drill, and then this week in sports history, as always. Now, before I get to the interview, I do want to remind you, your fantasy drafts are coming up. They might not be this week. They might be next week. They might be the week after. Either way, you're going to need some fantasy help. If you haven't started looking into it already, you should start now. Eat Sleep Fantasy is a phenomenal podcast. If you go on to eatsleepfantasy.com, you can actually have access to their site, and you can pay for memberships there. They have memberships ranging from anywhere to $5 to $120, depending on what it is that you're doing and what you want out of it. Their draft kit is part of the membership. It's worth it. It's really worth it. I'm not going to lie to you. It really is worth it. I'll be honest with you. They have tiers set up, and so you kind of have an idea of, okay, maybe I don't know how I feel about this guy, but he's in a group with a bunch of different other guys, and so I can kind of judge based on that. Do I want one of those guys? Maybe I can't choose between them, but I understand that one of those guys is what I'm looking for, and so that's kind of where I'm starting from. I think it's really interesting, and you should definitely check them out. If you do go on that website, and if you do sign up for a membership, you can use the promo code WWP, capital W, capital W, capital P, and you get 15% off your membership. Again, well worth it, and it saves you some money. Again, it's eatsleepfantasy.com, and then use the promo code WWP to get 15% off your membership. All right, without further ado, let's get you into the interview with Glenn and Moose. All right, we're going to welcome to the show Glenn and Moose, the NBC Sports Boston camera guys. Welcome on the show, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us, Pat. That's
awesome. Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for coming on. You guys are a 100% must follow on Twitter. You get some of the coolest videos out there, and you know, pretty excited to talk some sports with you tonight. Yeah, sure.
Cool.
Let's do it.
So one of the things that I think is most interesting, and I'm actually a teacher. My alter ego is a teacher, and I feel like a lot of the athletes, especially in Boston, athletes and coaches are like teachers, right? Where I feel like, you know, students, they don't feel like, you don't feel like your teacher is like a real person. They're just like your teacher, right? And I feel like the athletes and coaches are the same way, where it's like, you know, they're just, you know, that's the guy that plays shortstop for the Red Sox. I don't know who he is outside, but I do know he wears number two when he plays shortstop for the Red Sox. And that's the only thing I know about him. And that's the only thing I really care to know about him. It's all he exists to me. You know what I mean? And I think you guys do a really cool job of kind of reaching them in ways that, you know, the regular mainstream media doesn't. And I find that really interesting. Like, I just think that that's a cool way of kind of looking at different things and different aspects kind of their lives, I guess, you know?
Oh, cool. That's, I got to tell you, like, I mean, Moose and I have worked together for 20 years now, and he really was the guy that sort of showed me, or was the first guy that I ever saw that dealt with an athlete. Like, that guy was just a regular person, and it was amazing to watch those guys I mean, flocks to him is a little bit of an exaggeration, but he's just such an easygoing, nice guy that he just built, he's built relationships with these guys for years. I mean, years and years. And it was like, I learned a lot from watching him do that, because it was always like you said, Pat, it was just kind of like, all right, so we got to ask him about the game and then get the hell out of here. And, you know, we're camera guys, so we're not even supposed to ask questions, but Moose was kind of the pioneer, you know?
You know, well, I guess that makes me old, but no, you know, the funny thing is, it's one of those things where you finish an interview and you hear, you know, what's been talked about, and you're just standing there with the guy, and, you know, you kind of say your two cents on the thing, and you have to get to chatting with these guys. And, you know, if you've ever been, you know, like the name of your podcast, if you've ever been in on a team with anybody, it's the same thing. It really is. It's just that these guys are, you know, 1,000 times more talented, and they are treated that way most of their lives, and they make a lot of money. And I would say, you know, one of the best analogies ever given to me was Kevin Millar was talking. I asked him, you know, the guys back in the day, the guys really like, not like Curt Schilling. He's like, I wouldn't say guys don't like him. He goes, but every workplace has a Curt Schilling. Okay. You know, the guy that you might see walking down the hallway and you're like, oh boy, here we go. This guy's coming. And, and he also might get treated differently, you know? So like he pointed out that during batting practice, pretty much the whole team's out there every day, except Curt Schilling. He's off talking somewhere and he didn't have to do it. And, you know, he said, just picture that guy in your workplace. So you're right. If you can put yourself into that or back into your high school locker rooms, it's the same personalities. They're just regular people. And I think when you hit upon that, you know, especially with like the Patriots, Glenn and I were talking about this today, those guys just never have a chance to really show their own personalities. Like Gronk and Brady, they're above, you know, that they're in that celebrity stratosphere. So they get opportunities to do that. But these other guys, they don't. And they don't always have the place to do it or trust the people around them to do it so that they don't get themselves into trouble. And that's what we try to give them.
Right. I think it makes sense. I mean, especially now where, you know, there's 90 guys out there and, you know, almost 40 of them are going to be gone. And, you know, to be honest, the majority of the fan base isn't going to remember pretty much all of their names, you know, and but those are families and, you know, guys that have given everything to try to be here and make it. And for whatever reason, don't, you know, whether maybe not quite as good or one guy got hurt or, you know, another guy was there before, like, who knows, you know? And I thought it was interesting with the, you know, with the James Ferentz thing with, you know, with his kid splashing the puddles, you know what I mean? And now James Ferentz a little different, right? I mean, obviously he's got some Belichick ties and his dad's Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah.
No, that's a guy that's a roster bubble guy that, you know, nobody is, you know, if he doesn't make the team, nobody's going to think about that guy in 4 months. You know what I mean? But he's got this little cute kid who's just playing the puddles like everyone else. And he's just after, you know, after work playing with his kid when he has a chance. And, you know, and that's it. It was just an interesting kind of snippet of someone's life that the majority of people don't see, you know?
That's what, to me, that's one of the things that's been so amazing about this is, what people find interesting. You know, there have been times where Glenn and I have post things like that one in particular. You know, it just happened to be a rainy day. You see that moment, you capture it, and you throw it up there. And you don't, you think, oh, you know, some people that have kids will appreciate it. And then all of a sudden, there's just the, you know, all of a sudden you see more and more people interacting with that, and you're like, wow, this is the people were into this, you know. So you're right. You just never know what that interest level is going to be.
Right? And it's, you know, it's really strange because relatively speaking, we're very new to the social media thing. And, you know, we've had a lot of great help, especially from one of the women we work with. Her name is Kayla Peck. She's young and she's helped us a lot. And it's funny because Moose and I will sit there and we'll do something and we'll be like, oh my God, this is hilarious. This thing is going to take off. And then it kind of dies on the vine, but something like, you know, James Ferentz with his kid, like, goes bananas, you know? And it's like, it's interesting to try to figure out what people are going to respond to. And it's just, we've kind of branched out and posted more sort of stuff that we're like, yeah, let's give it a shot. And it gets a really great response. And you're like, oh, cool. And it's just, it's been a very fun learning experience, the whole thing,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's cool. I'll tell you what, for guys that don't know what they're doing, I'd love to have your numbers on Twitter. I'll tell you that much.
So. Oh, thank you.
So, but now you guys said you've been working together 20 years. Have you both in, were you born and raised in Boston? And have you been working in Boston that whole time?
We were in prison together?
Yeah.
We're actually in prison together.
In California. California. Kidding.
Totally kidding.
Yeah,
I'm from the South Shore. I'm from Abington, actually, originally. And, okay. You know, in this business, you used to have a lot of stops to get to Boston. You know, I went out to Wisconsin, made my way back. You know, Glenn had his travels. And along the way, you meet a lot of different people. And, you know, when I got back here, it used, you know, when it was New England Cable News, that's when Glenn and I met each other. And it was, it was a lot of fun, always fun to work with them. And we always had the same sense of humor. And you know, so that kind of always led to, it was the genesis of what you see now, you know, between he and I, that we just try to carry over onto the Twitter stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Because I was born and raised in Stowe, Massachusetts, and I did the same thing as Bill. You know, I went to small little markets, and you know, we both wanted to be the next Bob Lobel, and didn't really happen that way for us. But it turned out to be a blessing because, you know, we got to meet each other, and I mean, we both shot news when we were at New England Cable News, and that's a grind, man. That's like, there's a lot of sad stuff, and it's just like, we just would crack each other up all the time, and it was like, yeah, this guy's all right, you know? Like, I joke that it's like, we were like in the movie Step Brothers, except we didn't hate each other when we met.
Yeah. Right. That just happened. That's right.
Yeah,
we do both have samurai swords, so.
That's pretty dope.
Autographed by Randy Jackson.
See, now all you gotta do is get your father's boat and you'll be all set. So you guys were in front of the camera before you moved behind the camera, or at least tried to be.
Not very well in Bangor. For me, in Bangor and Portland, Maine, I was a sports anchor. Weekend sports anchor. And in Portland, I actually reported news during the week and I anchored sports on the weekend. It was it's a station that's no longer on the air, and they were wise enough to hire me. So that kind of tells you where they were at.
You know what it was though, back in the day too, you had to do it. It started this way when you were trying to climb your way up, you had to do everything. So it wasn't like you were just, you know, able to be, I'm going to be Mr. Sports Anchor or this or that. You had to be able to shoot. You had to be able to edit. You had to be able to do news. And
right. So
you saw all the different facets of the game, you know, so to speak. And so, you know, I think it sort of helped us. You come full circle, right? So, you know, doing what we're doing now with Twitter, I think that background, having experienced that stuff, you know, that stuff is where you start to learn, you know. And, you know, I'll never forget the first time in Green Bay, I went up to one of the Packers offensive linemen, and it was like my first day in the locker room. It was after a game, and I'm by myself trying to hold the microphone, do the camera. And, you know, I'm like, hey, do you have a minute? And he looked at me, he's like, yeah, not now, kid. And I'm like, oh, okay, no problem. I start walking away, and he starts laughing, and he's like, really, that's it? That's all? You're going to take that? That's your best shot? And I realized, like, he was totally messing with me, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, okay. You know, so that's what I mean by, you know, these are the experiences you have that, you know, you realize, like you said, you know, these guys are just regular guys.
That's true.
Man, can I jump in with a funny, my first ever time? at Patriots, I was working in Portland, Maine, and I just thought I was the hottest thing ever because I got to cover the Patriots. And I went to talk to Brewski, and I said, so, Teddy, you know, you're playing the Rams this weekend, and, you know, you played Buffalo last weekend, and, you know, Doug Flutie is a mobile quarterback, so does he help you prepare for Tony Jackson? And he just looks at me and goes, no. And I just go, okay, thank you. And I just, like, walked away. Like, I was going to get, like, fired from my job. I was, like, I was horrified. I was like, I'm terrible at this.
I mean, sometimes that's, like, I just feel like, you know, occasionally those are the things that you know, that you pick up on, I guess, where you don't ask a question like that, because that's not necessarily because, you know, it's like, he's like,
well,
no.
And that's the thing too, you kind of learn in this business. So there's two ways to go with that, right? You kind of tuck your tail between your legs and you don't come back, or you figure out other ways to approach these guys. And that's really what it's about. You got to figure out what makes these guys tick. And it's not just
sports. That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. No, it's funny. So I used to play basketball with Kevin Falk and just pick up ball. And I remember I'm like all over the court. Like my, you know, the guys that I play with are like, you know, the rubber side is supposed to be down pat, not, you know, and I'm like, well, you know, so when he was on the court, like I would be terrified that I was going to like, you know, break his ankle or like hurt him somehow, or I'm just running and I just bump, you know. So I just stayed as far away from him as I could, but he was like a nice guy, and I'm sitting there like trying to like make small talk with him, and I'm like, I just can't even talk to him. And he like started a conversation with me and we were chatting and stuff, and he's like the nicest guy in the world. And it's just like, you know, to kind of separate that stuff. And it's funny because and every now and again he'd bring a different player, you know. I played with Moss and Jabbar Gaffney and Lawrence Maroney and guys like that. And it was cool. It was really fun. And one funny Maroney story. He was not very good at basketball.
I was gonna say, aren't they all funny Maroney stories?
God. I suppose they probably are, right? So he was dribbling, he lost the ball and he went running for it. And him and another guy went running for it. And they just reached down at the same time and collided. And the kid flew about 20 feet. And we were like, foul. And he's like, foul? He's like, I just reached for the ball. And we're like, Maroney, you're an NFL running back. You can't do that. You just killed that guy. And he's like, okay, good point. Like, you know, Jesus Christ.
I have a good Lawrence Maroney, who actually, I remember he was a rookie in the locker room. He was talking a little bit too much, and he's being the young rookie and baby that, you know, to the team that he was. They dumped a load of diapers in his locker. And so when he got to his locker, he got that all the diapers were there. And just to remind him, like, be quiet. You're the little guy. You're the new guy. Right. You're doing a little too much talking.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know. Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah.
It's great. Yeah, what a guy. What a guy that guy was. All right. So just logistically now, I'm just kind of curious. You at the games, so you're like at the, like, will you travel with the team, or maybe not with the team, but will you travel this week with the Patriots? And then where, and then do you watch the game, or are you in the press box, or are you filming during the game, or what's your kind of game day
all
routine
of the
like?
Above
okay, so you're filming during the game too,
your picks during the regular season. And like, You're going away this weekend, right, Phil?
I am. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm
going to be shooting the game in Charlotte. I'll be shooting this Panthers game this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're behind the camera.
So Glenn and I travel together normally for the Patriots season. You know, we're on the field pre and post shooting the game. And I would say, you know, that's probably of all the sports, the best one, because you're out there, you know, just right there in the action. The other ones, you know, Red Sox were on the field before the game, after the game, during the game. We might have to do some live shots outside the park, which means you know, putting Evan Drellick on the corner of Yawkey Way and having drunk people come by and yell at him, which is actually a different form of entertainment.
Yeah, but, that's good stuff.
Yeah, right? I mean, so it's a mix. We, you know, so the travel can vary. So it's kind of all of the above. Some of the sports we can't, you know, we can't shoot the games. And I don't know if you caught it on the Twitter account, but we just posted an animated episode with Dustin Pedroia, where it kind of tells you what we do during the game. I don't know if you had a chance to catch that one, but that'll give you a little insight.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll have to check it out. Anyone out there that's listening, if you haven't checked it out, check it out. You can find what they do. That's interesting. Okay. Yeah, it's funny because you don't think of that. Like, I wouldn't think that you guys would be filming the game during the game, but that makes sense, though, you are the camera guys. But I just I didn't know if you were just filming, you know, like interviews afterwards or pre and post game, stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like Moose said, all of the above. All of the above.
Oh, my goodness. So you are
yeah.
guys out there. So
yeah, and that's all right. I think that's part of why, you know, I think that's part of why we get to know these guys the way we do. You see them on the field, off the field, what makes them tick. And so you see them sort of in their best moments, in their worst moments, and, you know, you're right there with them right after it happens. So, you know, you can tell a lot from a guy, you know, how they react to good situations and situate, you know, who's a stand-up guy, who isn't, you know, and you can see who's, you know, who really, you know, maybe they had a great game that night, but maybe they don't want the spotlight, you know, so it's a wide range, and I think that's what's helped us with the Twitter account, is that we've seen these guys in all different shapes and forms, you know, throughout the seasons.
No, it's cool. I mean, you know, and it varies, right? You get the sales stories, and then you get Pat Chung, and you're talking to Mookie Betts and all these other guys. So it's fascinating how many different guys are kind of involved and in the mix. I'm not going to ask you about your least favorite person because I would never do that, never put you on the spot like that. But what's kind of your favorite guy or guys that you like to kind of interview or be around or just kind of even, you know, just shoot the breeze with, you know, during or after the game?
Oh, I mean, keeping in mind, I played football at a very small high school and was not very good, but I gravitate towards the O-line because I was an O-lineman, and they're always very, very funny. And, you know, they're very close. They're very, you know, they stick together a lot, and they have a pretty good knack for telling stories. I think some of the funniest stuff that we've done has been with, we did some good stuff with Ted Karras, I thought. And just the big guys are always funny, I think. That's like big guy equals funny. That's me.
Yeah.
But, you know. I think they've been great.
I think that's very good. That's very true. They're usually a lot of the like underrated smart guys. And I would say now in that Patriots locker room, one of my favorite guys to talk to is Devin McCourty. Devin is one of those guys. I can't say enough about him. He's one of those guys. He hasn't changed an ounce from when he got there to now. You know, in as far as like professionally, he's always there to give interviews and to, you know, to sort of speak when people need that. And he's really funny. We have a lot of fun with him. So he would be, I guess, in the Patriots locker room, he'd be one of my favorites.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's funny with him on Quickslants where he would wear like the different, you know, different shirt every time he was on Quickslants and different things, you know, just silly things like that to kind of, you know, break the tension, but keep it light. You know what I mean? And that's, always see that, especially in that locker room. You don't always see that because, you know, the small little tweaks that you could do to kind of show your personality where a lot of it is kind of like damped down, you know?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's interesting. I can't remember the commercial, but it's funny you said offensive line. One of my favorite commercials of all time is Brady. And I think it's a American Express one where he's got the offensive lineman.
Yep.
Right. And the guy's like, well, you know, how come like I can't be the main star? And the guy's like, well, because I'm the director. And then he's like, well, why can't I be the director? And he takes a bite. I'm just like, it's just fantastic. Right. And like, you know, that guy steals the whole damn show. And it just seems like, you know, like you say, the offensive linemen, the big guys, you know, they kind of rely on some of that humor and stuff to kind of, you know, get by with the rest of the team. It almost feels like, you know what I mean? And so they do have that funny bone, a lot of those guys, I feel like, you know.
One of the all-time funniest Patriots is Matt Light. Oh, he is, I mean,
100%.
He is part of a sort of underground club of friends that they do practical jokes. I mean, and they take it to a totally different level. And the jokes and things that he did throughout his playing career, you know, like filling, you know, Brady's car with those popcorn.
The styrofoam popcorn. Peanuts, right?
Yeah, you know, things like that. And,
oh, my God.
You know, just crazy stuff. He was, and it's too bad because it's a good example of a guy that people never really got to totally see that side of him. Because for a lot of these guys, it gets to a point, especially with, I guess we could keep going back to the Patriots, but they don't have that opportunity. They almost feel like it's easier to say nothing and just make sure they don't get themselves in trouble with the team. And, you know, so I think we missed out on guys like that. Gerard Mayo's another one. You know, Gerard Mayo is hilarious. He walks in, does all the stuff, the quick slants. He walks in the room. We've done a lot of things with him. Would you agree with me, Glenn? One of the funniest under the radar guys.
He's first of all, he's absurdly smart. And second of all, he is like ridiculously funny. And I remember we used to do the thing with him up at the Renaissance, and it would be like, he would say like, this is obviously when he was playing, and he'd be like, okay, so when, you know, we're rolling, you're going to get the Patriot answers, you know? And then like, as soon as we were done, right, he was like, oh, this is not a, and he's just a really funny guy. And, you know, he had enough respect, like, and Bill liked him enough that he was one of the guys who could say a little bit more than everyone else. So he was a guy you always went to in the locker room to get sound. You know, because he would say more than just the, you know, we're trying to get better every week and so on and so forth. But yeah, he's a wickedly funny guy and just absolutely nice, like an unbelievably nice like person. You know, like if he wasn't you know, a 6'4" physical specimen, you wouldn't, you know, he's just a normal guy who's in really good shape who happens to be funny as hell. You know. Right.
See, guys like that piss me off because, you know, he's nice, but he's like smart and he's funny and he's pretty good looking and he's a freak of nature athlete. And it's like, I have none of those things. Like, can I just have like one?
Oh, God. Welcome to our world, Pat.
It's like, Jesus.
So, you know, that's funny. Somebody had put up a GIF and one of the responses was, you know, it was somebody basically threatening to punch somebody in the nose or whatever over something. And David Andrews' wife responded to it. And she said, you know, that's my reaction to people when they say that David is fat, and she's like, and I'm going to punch them in the mouth and they say it again, you know? And it's totally true. Like, you know, that whole thing of just, you know, you have these guys and then you have their wives behind them and they're funny. And then when you get, that's the thing about Twitter now is like, now you're getting to see like the whole realm of their life, you know?
Yeah. Which is a good thing. But in, you know, like in Brent Grimes's case, maybe sometimes not a great thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Nico Grimes. That's not a good time for him. That's
no, not good. No, right. It's funny. Cause I tell people, you know, my family, like I have a director in my family. I have a stand-up comedian in my family. I have a rapper in my family. And I'm like, then there's me. And I'm just, you know, there I am.
Right. But have any of them gotten to play pickup ball with Randy Moss?
That's a good point. That is a good point. Okay. It's very true.
So at dinners, you need to just really drop that. Now,
exactly.
I have a question for you. Who was the best of all those former Patriots or current whatever? Who was the best Hoops player?
Yeah, who could ball?
Oh, Kev. Oh, it was Kev, no doubt. Kev was sick. He was ridiculous. Ooh.
Really?
He was just, his jumper was just stupid. I mean, it was unbelievable. His three-pointer was nuts. And then people would throw passes, and I'd be like, what are you doing? Like, you can't. He was so quick that he'd be, 20 feet away, and you throw it, and he picks it off, and you're just like, how the hell did he do that? In Moss's defense, he didn't really play hard, it didn't seem like. I've heard he's a phenomenal basketball player, but, like, he was kind of just.
Sorry, Pat, I cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Have you ever seen the high school highlight videos of Randy?
Oh, Moss? Yeah, he's when ridiculous.
He played with Jason Williams, the white chocolate guy. They were high school.
Right.
He was definitely just kind of skating his lane.
I'll tell you, Moss actually got, I was the game that Moss was just there one day, and the day that he was there, he got dunked on to finish a game, like alley-oop, never saw her coming, just right behind him, and the dude just dunked right in his head, and I was like, oh my god, dude, the guy just dunked Randy Moss. Like, it was nuts, dude. But that's the type of stuff where, you have those different. I used to test basketball shoes for Reebok, so I was at the world headquarters of Reebok, and guys would come through and stuff, and it was fun. Actually, the craziest day was we had Iverson and Baron Davis show up one day, and we played ball with them, and that was ridiculous. Wow. I mean, those guys were – Baron Davis was stepping over half court, draining threes, and it was just like what do we even do with that? Like, it was just I actually stole a pass from Allen Iverson. That's my greatest achievement ever in sports. So
wait, are we talking about practice?
Not a game.
Technically, it was a game. So I mean,
there you go. See,
so he
got all these things you throw back at the people in your family. You're off,
bro. That's the thing, right? That's true. So one guy hit a fadeaway on Iverson, drained it right in his grill, and he goes down talking trash because he's like, I should have shot a bet on Allen Iverson. Like, what am I gonna not say anything? And Iverson gets the ball. And he's kind of like, he wasn't trying very hard, right? And he gets the ball, and he crossed up every single person on the court, through the legs, behind the back, spin move. It was ridiculous. And he comes down on the baseline and jumps from outside the paint on the left-hand side, brings the ball up, and then dips it back under and goes underneath the hoop and spins it off the top of the glass and in. And we're all just like, you're right, Allen Iverson. We forgot for a second. It was just like, it was the most impressive display of dribbling I've ever seen. It was ridiculous. Yeah, so, but but anyways, off of me. We're supposed to be talking about you guys, not me. I don't know what the hell's going on.
We took over your podcast for a second.
Yeah,
that's all right. You're asking me questions. That's fine. That's no problem. Yeah. You guys are flipping the script. That's all right. So as far as the season is concerned, right, Patriots season, and I guess Red Sox, I guess we can maybe talk a little bit of Red Sox too, but I mostly want to talk Patriots. What do you think this year? I mean, I know you're not an analyst. You guys aren't analysts, but I don't care. I still want your opinion. You're around the team a lot. You kind of see the guys. You see maybe, some inside different things about the camaraderie and how they're working together and everything like that. What do you think is going to happen this year?
Moose, you're the football guy, brother.
It's funny. I was just talking to Phil Perry today when we were doing our live shots, and one of the things that really concerns me is the wide receiver situation, and it's not just the numbers or the people that are there. It's you've got a Hall of Fame quarterback that demands precision, right? And so it's okay to probably carry one guy on the field. Like David Givens used to be, that one guy, and basically Brady would literally tell him where to go on the field, breaking the huddle. And you can carry one of those guys, but yes.
Wait. There were times. David Givens was that guy? Are you serious?
Yeah.
There was a lot of
Brady letting him know where he wanted him.
I would have never guessed that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say you have Decker that's come in, and he's struggling. You can see it to learn the offense. You've got, you know, you're not going to have, obviously you're not going to have Edelman, and now you're asking Dorsett to sort of do some of the things that Edelman does, which isn't really his game. Like that screen the other night in the game, he caught it, and all of a sudden he tries to blow up field, and like he doesn't let the blockers set up. But that's not his. That's not been his game, you know. So they're trying to sort of change what he does, and then you've got Kenny Britt, who I'll tell you right now, he was out of practice today for a little while. The hamstring still doesn't look right, so he still hasn't been on the field with Brady. So, you know, these are guys that are – and Cordell Patterson, by his own admission, is struggling to learn the offense. So I don't know how that shakes out, you know, when you look at that. So the receiver thing makes me a little nervous. In some of their depth, I guess, you know, the depth on the offensive line. And, I mean, it was nice to see – it's funny. Here's what I really want to see, too. It was nice to see – some of those blitzes and things coming last from the defense, right? Because I think that you know, they could do some different things that they've done in the past. But I also wonder, like, we'll see a difference this week. Like if Cam Newton's playing, I don't think they're going to be coming, you know, dropping blitzes from everywhere and letting him just run around, you know. So it'll be interesting to see. It's a good. I think indication of how these guys will go from game to game, you know, facing a guy like Cam Newton, it will tell you a lot. You know, I think there's a little more depth on the, when this defense is right and you can put guys where I think you'll start seeing like Hightower. I think he gets really beat up in the middle. I think you're going to see him more coming off the edge in a lot of these defenses, which could keep him healthier, which is sort of a underrated pass rusher, you know?
Yeah.
And then that lets like a Kyle Van Noy kind of freelance where he's at his best. And then, you know, I just feel like if they can keep these guys healthy, they can come at you a lot of different ways, which is I think they've been limited with that in the past. So those are kind of my concerns. I don't know how Brady has kept it together during camp working with, you know, I mean, he's still got his Gronk and, you know, for you fantasy guys out there, I think James White is going to be huge, huge.
I think so.
Last year I was big on Burkhead, but this year I'm more on White because I'm a little bit concerned. Burkhead's been banged up. I think Hill has done pretty well. And I could see Hill sort of taking that LeGarrette Blount role. And kind of that goal line, you know, hard runner, you know, type stuff. Whereas I think they liked Burkhead last year because when he's in the game, you don't know if it's pass or run. And and I think that's something that really plays well for their offense. But he's not the biggest guy, and he runs pretty hard, and he gets banged up, you know?
It's funny because Phil just talked to him today, and he was saying, yeah, and I'm down 10 pounds. And I was like, yeah, and you're going to be like the classic, you know, fantasy football touchdown vulture type of guy if you're going to be our goal line guy. And it's like, because he looked lean. I don't know, Bill, you may agree or disagree, but he looked lean, you know, like I thought
go back to like fantasy. I had him in fantasy before, and he could be when he was, he hit some disappointing years in Cincy. And he does look, you're Glenn, you're right, does look more lean. But I wonder, like in that first game where he broke off some big runs and he was playing special teams, he tapped out of that game more than I think I've ever seen a Patriots running back. And so if he's going to make the team, he better get himself into shape to play special teams and running back because they can't just carry a bunch of running backs that don't do anything else.
Right. No, I agree. I think the thing you pointed out about Burkhead compared to White is interesting because White is not a running back. He's just, I mean, he is, but he's, you can't rely on him to carry the ball significantly. It's just not, it's not his game, which is fine because he's great out of the backfield, but he's just not, if you're relying on him to be your number one back, it's just, that's not going to work out well for you. If you're running a offense, run the ball, even and you I, know, 50, and I, 50, 60, 40. Totally. You know?
And I think, you know, from like a Patriots standpoint and a fantasy standpoint, like he's going to be a guy that I think is just on the field a lot, especially in those first four games. Brady trusts him. No, right. You know, you don't really have, they don't really have, you know, without Edelman, they don't really have a true slot guy. So they're going to be looking for mismatches with a guy like White. And I think that's where he's going to get just more, probably more volume in ways that, you know, maybe he didn't in the past.
Well, it makes perfect sense. I mean, if you don't have a slot guy, how are you going to make up for that slot production? You make up for it for with guys out of the backfield that just, you know, that's because that's where you create the mismatches instead of over the slot. So that makes sense. I am worried about, I mean, Decker is a guy that worries me because he's dropping passes, which isn't his MO. So clearly he's struggling to learn the offense because he's thinking too much on the field. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like
anytime you see a guy dropping the ball, you know?
It's a great observation. And it's
so
true.
Yeah. So it's, we'll see. I mean, true. I also, Cordell Patterson, not the brightest bulb, but you know, I've heard some stories about him in college, just learning offense wise. And I don't know how he is, you know, book smart or anything like that. But like, you know, he really struggled to learn the offense at Tennessee, you know, so much so that he basically had to like go to the Tennessee sideline so the coaches could tell him what to do on the play that was called. I mean, you know, so in a super complicated offense like this, I can't imagine you relying. Now, he might be a gadget guy. I think he'd be an awesome gadget guy. You know, where you're running reverses and quick screens and things like that with him, great. But if you're relying on Cordell Patterson to be your number one receiver, I just think that's crazy. And so, I think
I don't think they look at him like that. And by his own admission, he already said that he is swimming and he's struggling to learn the offense. But I think that's what I mean by if you carried one guy like that and the rest of your receivers were – you know, veterans that knew the offense and you could take that one guy and it's throw him in there and Brady's able to tell him, you know, you basically, he's going to be out there and he knows you're running, you know, one of two or three things and that's it for him. You know, I think that's the way they look at him and his explosiveness.
And run kicks back.
Yeah, it's interesting. Exactly. Like we really haven't even seen that. So it's like, okay, you know, I think we know what he can do there.
Right. Now, let me ask you a question. Just getting off the Patriots for a second, because we'll see what happens with them. But I would want to go back to you guys for a second here. If there's a Patriots and a Red Sox game same day, what is your day like that day? Are you doing both games? I mean, say they're both at home. Are you trying to do both games, or are you split between the two, or is one of you go one place and another one goes the other one, or?
That's a good question. It varies. It's sort of like a welcome to our world weekly, daily almost update. You know, like this week we plan to be a Patriots. You know, some things get shuffled around, and I was going to go to a Red Sox game Wednesday night, but now I'm staying on Patriots. So it literally. You know, you find your schedule sometimes a day, day-to-day type of situation. So, you know, that's the part that a lot of times I think it depends on, you know, what that particular event means. You know, if it's a big game or if it's something like, you know, that'll take precedence. We'll throw more bodies at that, you know, than something if it was just a regular season type situation. That's usually what
that makes
sort
sense.
Of determines.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Patriots, by the way, Patriots is the only sport we travel for every game. You know, the other ones we will travel like here and there throughout the seasons. And then once playoffs start, we'll go full go on those.
Which makes sense. I mean, you can't be at every single Red Sox. There's 162 freaking Red Sox games. Like that's just crazy.
That's a long joke.
Yeah.
We cover every game at home, but it's you know, we rotate people through because there's so many of them.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. So before I let you go, I did want to ask you, and I do this with all my guests, but if you're a new listener, I ask every one of my guests a weekend warrior moment, your favorite weekend warrior moment. And a weekend warrior, again, it's just a guy that, you know, or girl that plays sports you know, not on a, not an affiliated team, not in high school, not in college, just kind of plays for the love of the game. You know, and so kind of your favorite weekend warrior could be a great moment, could be a ridiculous moment. It could be anything. So, Glenn, why don't you start off?
Well, so I, mine is, God, it was a long time ago. I was playing in a men's league in Natick, and, this guy shows up and everyone's like, wait a minute, is that Doug Flutie? I was like, yeah. So I'm playing hockey with Doug Flutie, and like the most aggravating thing is that he's an unbelievable hockey player, and we're talking to him, and he's like, yeah, I just started skating about a year ago. Like, natural athletes are just infuriating, and the guy is in net, and you know, we're playing, and of course you want to be able to say that, yeah, I scored against Doug Flutie. And I, he stoned me on a breakaway, like just a vintage, like, you know, spread eagle glove save. And I was just like so mad, but I was so psyched because, hey, I got to tell the story tonight. You know,
pretty awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were like, one day there's going to be a podcast and I'm going to be able to tell that story. It's going to be awesome.
Doug Flutie, you know? Stoning me in his sixth best sport.
I know, right?
Yeah. Whole life. Oh,
right. And he's like, and he shreds no, he's a drummer, right? Is he a drummer?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was a drummer, and Darren was the guitarist.
He's whatever he wants to be, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
Talk about guys that you freaking hate. I mean, Jesus. He's got the looks, he's got the sports, he's got everything. And like you say, he's just like, oh, I think I'm gonna try skating. Okay. And all of a sudden, he's a phenomenal hockey player. And you're like, are you serious right now, guy? Like,
what and the heck, you know? Can't even be like, but yeah, but he was a total, you know, bleep.
Well, that's
bleep
the thing, right?
Because he's such a nice guy.
Right, just, exactly.
Like, crushing beers with him in the locker room afterwards. Like, nobody's business, you know?
Right. And that's the thing, too, is that guys like that. It is cool when guys like that are just so down to earth and cool. And that's a heck of a story. That's a good one. It's almost better that he made the save. Like, it's a better story that he made. Like, yeah, you scored a breakaway goal against Doug Flutie, but it's like a better story that he made the save and you didn't score.
Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Just humiliated me. It was great.
All right, Moose, what do you got?
Well, I would say one of my favorites. I'm not a golfer by any means. I literally hacked, I think. And I interned at Channel 4 in Boston. It was back in Lobel, and Steve Burton was really cool to me. It took me under his wing. And so Jose Canseco was in town. He got to know him. And so they were doing a charity golf tournament. So Burton says, hey, why don't you come and, you know, just play, you know, or just come to the event. So I'm thinking, great, I'll come and, you know, hang out. Awesome. So the next thing I know, he's like, hey, listen, we need a fourth for our group. And I'm like, oh, you want me to try to find somebody? He's like, no, I want you to jump in. And I'm like, no. I said, I've played golf probably once. I said, if we're talking miniature golf, I'm okay. I said, but I don't know what I'm doing. And he's like, no, we need it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Steve is very convincing. He's like, don't worry about this. It'll be fun. And I'm like, all right. So I'm thinking it's just, you know, it's a bunch of regular guys. He pulls up in the golf cart. It's him and Canseco.
Oh my God.
I'm like, I look at him. I go, come on, Steve, seriously? And he's like, yep, no, you're good. Don't worry about it. And Canseco goes, are you a golfer? And I'm like, yeah, not really. He's like, eh, neither am I. That's okay. You know, let's go. So the guys, you know, just Canseco's just hitting bombs, you know, just all over the place. And, you know, I'm hacking it into the trees, whatever. And to their credit, they didn't really care. They really didn't care, you know. And so we pull up for the final hole. And all of a sudden, Canseco goes, hey, guys, let's make this one interesting. And he pulls out $1,000.
Oh, no.
Puts it on he puts it on the golf cart seat. I'm not kidding. He puts $1,000 on the golf cart seat. And he goes, let's play this last hole for $1,000. And I looked at Steve. I go, I'm an intern. You're not even paying me I don't even have a real job. I go to UMass. Like, I'm not. What? I'm like, Steve, come on. And there's no I have no chance of winning. No chance of winning. And so Burton's like, all right. Come on. So he turns around and says to Canseco, he's like, come on, man. We can't. Thousands. Too much. He's like, so he picks up half of it. He goes, 500? And I'm like, dude, I don't even have $20. I don't even know where I'm getting lunch. He goes, all right, fine, $100. And I'm looking at Steve. I'm like, yeah, don't have that either. But what happens? So Steve's like, don't worry about it. I got you. Luckily, Burton won the hole. And
there you go.
And then he was like,
I did not have to pay. He didn't make me pay. And the best part is we go in the clubhouse. And Canseco starts having a few beers and telling stories about McGuire and how the guys on the Oakland A's thought he was the biggest wuss going. And I'm like, whoa, wait, what? I'm like,
oh my God.
McGuire? McGuire was not like a tough dude? And he's like, he used to get hit by pitches constantly and would never charge the mound. And I guess a lot of the guys on those Oakland A's teams, if you think back, there were some pretty bad dudes on those teams, yeah. The beat up on the Sox. And so, at least at the very end, I got to have a few beers and hear war stories from Canseco.
That's crazy. That's amazing. Wild. Imagine. I just can't even – I can picture it, too. Canseco just pulling out a grand to be like, let's go. We're playing for 1,000.
I have to tell you the one – actually, I got to tell you, this is quick. The one I was going to tell you before I thought of that one was, so Glenn knows this because he's come to some of the practices for the softball at Tom Curran, our football, famous football guy there at NBC Sports Boston. He invites me to play in a men's softball league. So I'm all for it. And I go, whatever. And so we have a bunch of guys who get together to have a practice and we just need bodies. And I'm like, they say to Glenn, I'm like, Glenn, why don't you come down? I'm like,
you are such a prick. You're like, killing me right now.
Just come on down. No big deal. And Glenn's like, I don't want to, I really don't want, all right, fine. So we give him a glove. He's playing a mix of – it's just batting practice, And he's short right field, and there is a pop-up in foul territory. Pretty routine. But Glenn made it look very much like – those plays where Jackie Bradley just takes off and he's going and you're like, how did he get from point A to point B? And he looks amazing. Think about the exact opposite. Think the opposite.
Literally,
I'm pretty sure Glenn might have fell 3 times, got up. I'm pretty sure his pants came down at one point.
Yes, they did. My ass was hanging out, unfortunately.
And, it was a good advice.
Did he make the play?
No, God, no. Oh, God. I'm not even close. And it was funny because this is a bunch of, Moose's buddies and Tom's, and, there are a bunch of brothers from Mattapan, and they were trying to be respectful and not laugh. And Moose's buddy Dana just started. He was like, oh, my God. He sounded like DMX, and he was crushing me. Rightfully so, by the way.
Awesome.
Yeah, hey, listen, sometimes you got to take your beating like a man,
That's awesome.
Look, I would not fare any better on the ice, that's for sure. Yeah. So. the funny thing is, after a few years of playing, I realized that Tom Curran, was he would show up, and act like he wasn't really into these games. So he'd walk around, he'd pitch, and he'd play the outfield. And he would always have a Dunkin' Donuts coffee cup. So he'd have this coffee cup. He'd put it down next to him in the field. And meanwhile, inside, he's an extremely competitive person, right?
I'm sure,
he's trying to act like he's just having fun and that it doesn't really mean much to him, right? So one day we're in the locker room and Brady walks by and I say to Brady, hey, man, I'm playing in a, and I'm standing with Tom, and I said, and he knows Curran very well. And I'm like, you know, I'm playing in a softball league with Tom here. And Brady's like, really? I'm like, yeah. I said, yeah, you know, we're on different teams. I said, and listen, we're looking for a catcher. I said, you know, I said, the off season, I'm just, you know, I know you played catcher and we could use a catcher. And I'm just saying, you don't even have to show up all the time. If you want to play once in a while, come and show out. And Brady was awesome. He's like, you know what, man, maybe I'll take you up on that. And Curran's face is like, yeah, right, whatever. And he's like, no, that might be kind of fun or whatever. And he walks away laughing, you know. And Curran was so, because he's such a Brady guy. He's like, right. He's not going to play, you know. You know he's not going to really play. And I'm like, I don't know, Tom. I think I'm getting him a jersey. So I don't know. I think I have a number 12 available. And I think you're going to see him on my team. And Curran was getting so pissed. He's like, no, man. He's not going to show up. I'm like, I don't know. He seemed like he might show up. So we'll see, won't we?
That's great. Oh, I would have. You should have made the shirt and everything, showed up with it, and given it to him in front of Curran. That would have been awesome.
God.
Just keep it going.
I'm just saying. You know, Brady hasn't retired. Maybe in retirement, you know?
One day. You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
That's very true.
He can't play first base, though. We have Glenn is playing first base. So.
I'm like Carlos Quintana. First base.
I can move three. I will take four steps of the bag and turn around. And if your throw is not directly in my glove, I can't promise that.
Oh, God. Remember, he would put his heel on the bag, and he would do the, quote, stretch to get the throw, and his, like, elbow was, like, still tucked on his side. It was so bad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's a throwback. That's a good one. Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's awesome.
If you so need another guy –
what's that?
You know, I'm not. I said, if you ever need another guy, I'm not Tom Brady. But I mean, you know, I mean, okay. I've been known to hit a ball.
Okay. Yeah, we saw you at training camp. I think you're kind of selling yourself a little short. You look like you keep yourself in pretty good shape. Let's be honest. We saw you there in the family and friends tent area. We know.
I don't know. I wouldn't say pretty good shape. I'd say maybe oval shape. But you know,
I think you're kind of shocking us a little bit on that, maybe. Oh man. All right. Cool.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate it. Why don't you plug yourselves a little bit before you take off? Let everyone know, you know, kind of where they can find you, interact with you, things like that.
Sure.
Glenn, take it away.
It's at NBCS Camera Guys. That's our Twitter handle. And the NBC and S are all capitalized. And the C in camera. God, I'm so bad at this. NBCSC is all capitalized. And then,
hey, Bob Costas, nice job.
Yeah. I'm really selling.
Go in the search bar and type in camera guys, and they'll come up, you know?
Yeah. Thank you, Pat. I appreciate that. That made it a lot easier. Well said.
You know,
but yeah.
It really is. Honestly, I'll be honest with you. The videos are awesome. It's really cool to watch, and you guys are so down to earth, and the players really kind of relax around you, and so you get some really interesting and cool content, and it's something that I feel like was missing. We didn't even know it was missing from the Boston sports market, but now that it's here, it's like so interesting and cool, and man, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to watch. So keep doing your thing. It's really cool.
Cool. You know, man. What? Thank you very much.
We really appreciate it. You know, we're new to the game, and so it's awesome to come on with guys like you and talk sports and laugh, and you know, that's what we try to bring to the Twitter account. And so you know, and now they're trying to animate us. So go ahead and check that one out. You'll get a kick out of that one, the Pedroia animation.
I'll check it out because that's interesting too. I mean, anytime you put an interesting story or like a funny story behind like that animation, I feel like it just adds a different layer to it that is just funny and silly and goofy. And that's like, again, in Boston sports, like, we don't see that. You don't see silly and goofy stuff. You just don't. That doesn't happen. You know,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. You know, the guy that animated it. Cool. The guy that animated it, his name is Billy Delaney, and he's just gifted. I mean, he's really good.
Anybody that can make us look good as animated characters.
Yeah.
and not look like Fred and Barney, you know?
No, but but it's interesting because the facial, you know, the face salad you get going on is interesting. And so it's like, you know, you can kind of do some cool things with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know. We try to that is a hot topic amongst the players. So we try to embrace that. We just had a conversation today with Robert Glenn. He grabbed Devlin.
Yeah, James Devlin. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
he just grabbed his beard.
We were like, whoa, what happened, man? You had a good beard going? And he's like, I went to the barber, and he trimmed it a little too much, and so we just had to keep going. He was so bummed out.
No.
He was sad.
He was sad. He's like, give me a couple months, and I'll get it back. I'm like, no doubt. We believe in you. We believe in you.
Absolutely.
I grow one in the winter. My wife hates it. But I start in like October, early October, and I'll grow it till usually like April or so. And it gets, I mean, I'll go a few months without shaving.
How many kids do you have?
I have three little ones. So.
Okay. I'm surprised at this point she cares about what your face looks like.
That's a very good point. That is a very good point.
So credit to you, man. You know,
that's true.
Yeah,
see, that's good. I never looked at it that way. That's a good way to look at it.
There you go.
Good spin zone right there.
You go. My wife does not care. Yeah, we have two kids, and my wife does not even care. Nope.
I'm 2 years in with my girl, and she's cool with it. It's just kind of part of the deal that.
Well, right.
What kind of part of the burden of having to be with me? So that's the least offensive thing, I suppose.
Very true.
Oh, goodness.
Very true.
Well, if you ever need any beard products, let me know. I'm actually sponsored by Beard Brand, so they do an awesome job.
Oh,
so,
really?
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We can get with some cool stuff. So.
Yeah, all right.
No, absolutely. Sure, I am right on. It's funny you said that because I'm trying to figure out just where it got really human and stuff like that. Trying to find a good one to deal with that. You know what I mean? It's kind of a whole different challenge. Now that we live in Florida.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, God. That was insane. Yeah, I was there last week, and it was actually hotter and more humid up here than it was in Florida. Not by much, but still.
But even
we're
still.
In Florida. Yeah, it's disgusting.
Not
fun. Disgusting.
Yeah.
Excuse me. All right, sorry. Yeah,
I'm
a little popped out now. So awesome,
that's
man.
Quite all right. Yeah, but thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it, and maybe we'll do it. Maybe we'll do it again sometime. It was a lot of fun.
That would be awesome, man. Thank you very much, man. It was a blast.
That was awesome having them on. I want to say thank you to them again for coming on the show. I'm being serious about them being a must follow on Twitter. You have to follow them. They have some really interesting guests and some really kind of interesting things that are going on. So, you know, definitely check them out. And they got big things coming too. I really do think they have some big things coming that you're going to want to be around for and there for. So definitely check them out. Before we move into the 3-minute drill in this week in sports history, I do want to remind you that Beard Brand is a premium men's grooming company with products not only for your beard, but also for your hair and body. Do yourself a favor and head over to beardbrand.com and take care of yourself. Beard Brand actually released a new YouTube video. It's starring the friend of the podcast, Artie Januario. And you might find a little bit of audio at the end of the episode, so you might want to stick around for that. All right, so I'm going to get you into the 3-minute drill.
And now for something a little different.
Check, check, check. 3-minute drill. 3-minute drill, Sid.
All right, this week we're talking about Tom Brady. Tom Brady, and I just want to give you a little historical look at what he's trying to do, okay? So here's what a lot of people don't know when people aren't talking about. There are seven, count them, seven quarterbacks that have played in a game at the age of 41 or older. They are Warren Moon, Vinny Testaverde, Doug Flutie, Brett Favre, Steve DeBerg, Earl Morrill, and Mark Brunell. Now, Testaverde, Morrill, and Brunell were all backups by their 41 year, so they're out. It doesn't matter what their numbers look like because they were backups, they weren't playing. Okay, Steve DeBerg left the game at 39, came back at 44 after being retired for 5 years, obviously was just a backup at that point, but he didn't play at 41. It's not really relevant to what we're talking about, but he did play past the age of 41, so I figured I'd mention it. Of the guys that did start multiple games, Doug Flutie is one of them. He started the season as the backup quarterback in San Diego behind Drew Brees in 2003. Brees and the Chargers started off 1-7, so they benched Brees. They went to Flutie. Flutie finished the season 2-3 as a starter, but he actually played pretty well. He was named AFC Offensive Player of the Week 1 week. He was, I believe he's still the first player 41 or older to have two rushing touchdowns in the same game. And I don't know if it still stands, but I think it does. He was the oldest player to score a touchdown. He broke Jerry Rice's record. Jerry Rice set it like 2 weeks earlier, and he broke that record. I'm assuming it's a rushing touchdown. Assuming like he scored the touchdown, it's either, you know, that means it's either rushing or receiving. It must have been a rushing touchdown. So that's what we get for that. So that's Flutie. Warren Moon. Well, actually, okay, Warren Moon, interesting one here. He actually went to Seattle in his 41 season and was named to the Pro Bowl. Not only was he named to the Pro Bowl, he actually was the MVP of the Pro Bowl. So pretty solid year, 3,600 yards, 25 TDs, 16 interceptions. So next year after that at 42, he only played 10 games, was fine, but then he was a backup throughout his career after that. Brett Favre is the last one. Okay, Favre had, what a lot of people don't realize, okay, is that his first year in Minnesota, he had the best statistical year of his career. It was the only time in his career where he had under 10 interceptions in a season, and it was also the only time in his career where he had a QB rating of 100 or more. So you think about in that context where he threw for 4,200 yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He was unbelievable. Okay, he had the highest completion percentage of his career at 40 years old. And then at the end of the season, he proceeded to retire. There you go. He proceeded to retire and head down south of Mississippi. Okay, then they go down to get him, right? Then training camp, Jared Allen, all these guys go down to get him, and they get him, and they bring him back, and they're like, oh, please, you know, play with us again. So he decides to play at 41. And he's terrible. He was awful. Okay? And so, you know, it's just one of those things that you have to understand. He wasn't prepared for the season. I think it was kind of his going out, right? He wanted to go out in style, and he had a phenomenal year, and they convinced him to come back. But he really played the best year of his career. I mean, the next lowest interception ratio, interception total for him in a season was 13. He had 7. That's almost half. It's unbelievable. The numbers he put up that year, and so it's just something to consider. For me personally, I think, you know, I know Rob Parker said it. People have been saying it for years. Brady's going to fall off a cliff. I don't see it this year. I just don't. I don't know. I think there's enough historical data to look at it. Brady, you know, is crazy about his preparation and about the work that he puts in. So I think that that's something you don't really have to worry about. So I wouldn't necessarily worry about that. I will say, there is no, at past 41, there's nothing. There's no stats past 41. There's no like, oh, this guy was good at 42 or 43 or 40. No, there's nothing. So he's really in uncharted territory starting next year. Again, Warren Moon made the Pro Bowl at 41, so it can happen. And it's not like it was a cheap Pro Bowl. Like, he made the Pro Bowl and played pretty well. So, you know, that's one of the things that you got to think of. But once you get to 42, that stuff kind of goes away. So Anyways, that's all I got for the I went over time, but that's all right. I'm sure you don't mind. Let's get into this week in sports history.
And now for something we think you'll really like. This week in sports history.
All right, so I'm going to go in chronological order as always. The first one I'm going to start with is August 23rd, 1883. And that is when the Philadelphia Phillies commit 27 errors against Providence. 27 errors in the game. Now, one thing you have to know about the rules back then. Until 1888, wild pitches, pass balls, and even walks counted as errors. So maybe there weren't quite as many fielding errors as we thought. However, 27 errors in a game is still ridiculous. Even if you're talking, even if you're including walks, wild pitches, and pass balls, that's still a lot, okay? So again, maybe it doesn't quite count because the rules were a little bit different. But 27 errors, 27 errors. That's pretty nuts. So I thought that was a fun one. Next one is August 21st, 1936. Red Sox pitcher Wes Farrell walks off the mound after receiving poor fielding. He just was like, nah, I'm done. You guys suck, I'm out. And so he just walked off the mound. It was actually the second time he had done that in the last 5 days. Clearly he didn't like the way the team was playing defense. And he said, you know what? I'm out of here. I don't care. See ya. And so he was suspended and then fined $1,000. And his response to that was to tell the manager he was going to punch him in the face. So you know, a little hot temper on Wes Farrell. But interesting story there from August 21st, 1936. And the last one, August 18th, 1967. Tony C., Tony Canigliaro, hit in the eye with a ball. Really not in the eye, the orbital bone, I guess, with a ball. During the Impossible Dream season, obviously, you know, they lost him for the year. The cover of Sports Illustrated with him on it is like haunting. If you ever watch, if you ever see it, it's crazy. He ended up actually coming back in 69 and I believe was comeback player of the year in 69. And then in 1970, hit 36 homers and 116 RBIs and played really well. Kind of went out west a little bit and played till 75 and then retired because, you know, his eyesight was kind of permanently damaged and never really got better. So unfortunately he had to retire, but he was something else, man. He holds the record for the most home runs hit by a teenager, which is 24, and he's also the second youngest player in Major League Baseball history to hit 100 home runs. So just something to keep in mind. He was an unbelievable player that obviously the Red Sox lost way too soon, and you know, his career was cut short because of that. Now, one of the things that's interesting, I'm sure most people know this, but the reason that that the batting helmets have the protector on the side is because of Tony C. His batting helmet did not have that. They put that in a few years later, and so, you know, that's just something that they changed. Now, obviously, if Tony C had been batting then, well, maybe it hits it, maybe it doesn't, maybe he doesn't get hit. You know, there's no way to really know. It looks like it would have protected him, but at the same time, it comes down over your cheek, but it's not really covering right around the same ear. So, you know, maybe he gets hit by it anyways. Who knows? There's no way to really know, but it's just something kind of interesting there. So, anyways, that's all I got for this week in sports history. I want to give a big thanks to Glenn and Moose again for coming on. Had a lot of fun talking to them. They're really, really cool guys. So definitely check them out. If you don't already follow them, again, you know, I think it's NBCS Camera Guys, right? But if you can't find them, just type in Camera Guys in the search bar. They'll come up. You'll find them. Again, must follow on Twitter. So definitely do that if you're not already doing that. I want to give a shout out to Marcus from the Boxers Podcast for the intro and the two cuts. Him and Wesley review a different movie every week. And they do it on Mondays, and this week they reviewed Infinity War, and I got a bone to pick with Marcus because he didn't think he would own Infinity War, which is just lunacy as far as I'm concerned, but nevertheless, there you go. So, but check them out. They do an awesome job reviewing the different movies. And again, it's kind of later, so it's not like movies that are just coming out, but it's kind of a cool way to kind of go back and say, oh, you know, I got to watch that one or this one or whatever. So check that one out. Also, want to give a thanks to M.Dot and Core for the outro song. And MDOT actually this week is going to be, I believe it is, where the heck is he? Is it? It's in, I don't even know where it is, dude. It's somewhere overseas. It's called the Kemp Festival. And the lineup, GZA, Beat Nuts, Chief Keef, Immortal Technique, Ed OG, Snow Goons, and MDOT. So pretty sick. I mean, that he's, you know, in with people like that. So it's a pretty cool situation that he's in, and definitely check him out if you haven't already checked him out. He's at MDOT Boston, so check him out if you haven't had the opportunity. And as far as for me, if you could please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, really appreciate that. You know, kind of gets me noticed a little bit more, so I definitely appreciate it if you could do that. Also, you can follow me on Twitter, at Weekend War Pod. That's the show's Twitter handle. And again, it's simple. It's Weekend with no E's. So WKNDWARPOD. And then for me, the personal account, which is where I do most of my tweeting from, but the personal account is at WTP Lane. So WTPLANE. Pretty easy. Okay? Thanks for coming along with me. I appreciate it. And we'll send you off with a little message from Artie.
I don't like going in dry. Some guys do, but I just can't. I need that little bit of extra moisture. So let me get going on that.
Simmons, no timeouts. You gotta go. Williams, three. Yes!
You don't need to tune in. This is the show, bro. Put the game upside down like a snowball. We get Warriors. It's a podcast. What you call a commentary, kid, I call trash.
Warriors, come out to play.
We get Warriors. It's a podcast. What you call a commentary, kid, I call trash.
Hey, yo.
WCP. We Warriors, especially on the weekend. Looking for that sports talk, this is where it be, man. Breakdowns on your favorite teams and all that. Hear about the starters long before the ball snap. You can call Pat or go ahead and call Mike, cause we here all night, no time to stall, right? 2 seconds left, clutch shot, it's go time. Knuckles on the O-line, watch the losers go wine.
Turn me up on that radio dial. It's been a while since I played, but I'm here with a smile. I'm taking jump shots, get a minute, I'm out. I'm breaking records like Bill Russell, kid has got muscle. Being polite when I'm Pat and his mic, you see the city of champs coming to victory dance, buddy. It's radio talk, so turn it up when it's on. We're gonna listen and rock to what it is that you want. Warriors,
y'all need to tune in. This is a show, bro.